Hello and welcome to Locked On Cavaliers. For Wednesday, May 16th, I am Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com. That's SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers blog. On today's show, we are breaking down Game 2, which the Cavs lost. They are now down 2-0 to the Boston Celtics. Today's show is a quarter-by-quarter breakdown of the game, plus a big-picture look at the game with Fear the Sword's Ashley Bastock, running through everything that happened that sees LeBron James and the Cavs get outscored by 20 points in the second half and go back home down 2-0 on their heels and in a position we haven't seen this group or LeBron in since he's come back from Cleveland. It's a very interesting time, a whole bunch more to talk about later this week, but today's show will give you the detailed analysis of really what went wrong in this game. Also up on the Locked On Cavs channel is a draft lottery reaction with Fearless Sword Trevor Magnotti. If you want to start thinking about the draft, go check that out. It's a different podcast, 15 minutes or so. We'll have more draft content as well, but wanted to separate that from Game 2. But here's today's show, the quarter-by-quarter breakdown of Game 2, of what went wrong for the Cavs, and then Ashley Bastock from Fearless Sword joins me to run through some of the more detailed points of the game as we look ahead and what some of the big culprits were from this game. You can find the pod on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs. Find me on Twitter and Facebook at CJMMWrites. Please go on iTunes, leave the 5-star rating and review to support the podcast. And if you want to reach me, email the show at lockedoncavs@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, but here's today's show.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So the story of quarter one was unsurprisingly LeBron James. What a quarter from LeBron. 21 points for him, tying his quarter career high for the playoffs on 8 of 13 shooting, 4 three-pointers, got to the line as well, missed 2 free throws. The rest of the team shooting 3 of 11 as the Cavs lead 27-23 after 1. A lot to like from LeBron in this quarter. Number one, he was really aggressive, and it wasn't just aggressive in dribbling, attacking. It was LeBron coming off of curl for his first bucket. It was him getting post-ups versus Marcus Morris. It was him taking three-pointers. I didn't love all the three-pointers he took, particularly some of the ones where he's pulling up I'm not a big fan of, but for him to come out and be this aggressive, I thought really set the tone for the Cavs. When you have LeBron doing this, it covers for a lot of your other issues, right? When he is actually imprinting himself onto Marcus Morris, when he is imprinting himself onto Jaylen Brown, when he is making them react to him, it changes the dynamic of the series. It's obvious to say this, and it's almost cliche to say this at this point, but LeBron James, when he's like this, is the equalizer to any of your issues. To run through just how good he was, number one, he hits this. He has a second three within 4 minutes of the game. Utterly fantastic. He has his 13th point with 5:21 to go, gets the Cavs up to 19 points, surpassing their first quarter total from game one. At that 5:21 mark, that's a really good sign for them. At 5:52, he gets to the line after he gets a post up versus Morris. He only makes one of the free throw, but he's 1 point away already from his game one point total at that point in the quarter, and it comes via him chasing the type of looks that he is really well equipped to get in the series. Going up from there, at 4:25, he passes his one game total with a bucket, and it came off a really good screen from TT. And then at 3:38, God Mode LeBron exists. He hits this three-pointer where the Celtics did a very good job, frankly, of defending him. And he hits a fadeaway three-pointer with Marcus Morris up in his grill in front of the Cavs bench with Ante Zizic celebrating with him. And just an excellent quarter from LeBron sets the tone for everything they did in this quarter. And for him to have that 21 points on the 8 of 13 shooting is basically perfect. I did not love exactly everything again. I think some of his three-pointers were a tad rushed. But when you have a quarter like that from LeBron, it's hard to quibble with anything that he did. To look at what else happened in quarter number one, I think Tristan Thompson had an overall good quarter. When he was marked up with Al Horford, I think he did a good job against him. The moments where Al had success, say that corner three-pointer he hit or the dunk that he had, it's when Tristan lost him a little bit, and the Celtics did a good job there. There was a really bad blown defensive coverage for Jaylen Brown late in this quarter. At 2:27, they just seemed to get confused. LeBron not coming out to maybe cover that open shooter, and it's open three. And stuff like that, I think, cost the Cavs an opportunity to push this lead up a little bit further from where it was. And then you look at some of the miscues from the other Cavs. JR misses an open three. Kevin Love missing some shots. But overall, I think an okay quarter from them. George Hill was the guy that, to me, stood out. He had a 10-16, had a really good mark against Morris, drove against him, used his body and some crafty ball handling to get a bucket and score. He did have a bad possession a minute later at 9:09. He's blocked by Al Horford. Just a little too much dribbling. I think that those two possessions show you that he has to toe that line and be really smart and intelligent when he's picking between attacking and implementing himself and trying to hold back. But overall, I think a good quarter for him. And you have to talk about Kevin Love's dunk. He cuts off ball. It seemed to be a play that wasn't exactly called. He just read the right play, got a pass on LeBron. An awesome dunk from him. But the Cavs lead by four after one. You did see Larry Nance return in this quarter, and the Cavs return to him with Korver and Green coming off the bench at the same time. We'll see what other rotation changes they make. We'll see if LeBron can keep this up, but a much better first quarter from the Cavs, especially compared to their game one. The second quarter was another good effort from the Cavs. They take into halftime a 55-49 lead, and they overcame, I think, a couple adversity filled moments and stretches, which is good for them. Number one, you start with LeBron not starting this quarter, and this is always something this whole time back with the Cavs that has been an issue with this team. But you saw a lineup of Hill, Hood, Nance, Korver, and Green only get outscored by the minus one up until the 8:14 mark when LeBron returns. They're up five at that point after leading by six after one. That is a good stretch for them. This was with George Hill continuing to play the whole game. No Jordan Clarkson in the second quarter or in the first half. The Cavs cut this down to an eight-man rotation or a nine-man rotation with Nance coming in for Clarkson. Excuse my math, journalism major here. But this was a good start to the quarter. This was exactly what you needed. It was with Kyle Korver having a bunch of points. I think Larry Nance's screening was much better. If you go back and watch the film, I think you'll see him actually setting screens, whereas in other moments you have seen him not always set the most physical screens. It's one of my issues with him as a player, but he did a really good job here actually making contact and freeing up guys like Kyle Korver. And then LeBron comes back. Korver continues to play really well. He has 11 points in 7 minutes in this quarter, and he did what he was not able to do in game one, and he just ate people up off ball. He was eating up Marcus Smart and cutting off the ball, getting open looks. And yes, Marcus Smart took some interesting paths to guarding Korver. He was coming under screens. He was not staying close to him, and that's all the room Korver needs, but that is really, really big. Getting these buckets from Korver when LeBron was not quite as dominant in that second quarter, I thought really, really mattered. The other things that happen here is you have a really good stretch from Jason Tatum. He did pick up a third foul late in this quarter that I think helped the Cavs late, but he's fantastic. He had 9 in a row at one point, scored twice in a row on Tristan Thompson versus switches, and he brings this game with under 10 and within a close amount of points, or down 5, for instance, with 5:55 to go. And the Cavs respond to this. They respond to this Tatum burst. LeBron scores by 4:28. They're up 10. That's their biggest lead of the game. That's a part of a 7-0 run. They lead by as many as 11 in this quarter. And it was good to see the Cavs, I think, respond to this adversity and push back up that lead and to extend that lead and to take advantage of the things that they're good at. Boston just frankly did not have exactly the type of response that I thought they had in game one here. LeBron, again, was more aggressive. Korver, I thought, was just much better. Tristan made a really big impact. I thought Nance's minutes were good. I think the absence of Clarkson really honestly made a difference. You got some good minutes out of Hood as well. He wasn't as aggressive as he was in game one, but didn't set up a Kyle Korver three on a smart pass off of a jump stop, so a good bit of play for him there. And yes, Jeff Green had two bad possessions in a row, but he had two blocks in the quarter, had a corner three late in the quarter, and you got some good minutes out of him as well. So they kind of just dealt with this rotation, dealt with who they had out there, and got pretty good minutes out of everyone that played. LeBron did have this neck strain, according to ESPN, in this quarter. Seems like he's fine, so no worries there. And he did come back after missing about two-ish minutes with that neck strain and absolutely abused Greg Monroe in the pick and roll. My play at this quarter, probably my play of the game so far, is LeBron pausing, looking through Greg Monroe and feeding a cutting Tristan Thompson for a dunk. So a fantastic play there. Boston also was attacking the Cavs in a zone, so the Cavs are getting a different look. The one downside for Cleveland right now is that they did give up two quick buckets late in the quarter to only take a 6-point lead into the half, and you also had LeBron only going 2 of 8 from the line. So a couple little small things there, but overall a very, very good half for the Cavaliers, and they lead Boston in game 2 at this point. So the third quarter is where this absolutely unraveled for the Cavs. This, to me, is where they lost the game. To run you through some of the highlights of this quarter, they had not a whole lot go out right. So LeBron, a minute into the quarter, roughly, gets beat on an easy flex cut from Jaylen Brown. Just bad defensive effort, shouldn't have been beat there. Terry Rozier starts scoring in this quarter. He scores first with 9:16. Then Jaylen Brown attacks JR at 8:46 and scores. He had an overall really, really nice game. Then 8:45, the Cavs' lead is down to 5. Marcus Morris at 8:19 puts this to a 2-point Cavs lead. LeBron responds, but it doesn't really last because you get deeper into this. Rozier ties the game at 66 with 6:15 to go. 5:14, to me, this is where the game really starts to pivot. Morris scores one-on-one versus Tristan Thompson. He gets a 3-point play and then ties the game at 16-all after he makes the free throw. The guys jaw at each other. Marcus yells in his face. There's double techs, but he ties the game. That's all that really matters there. 4:32 to go after the Cavs did score. Marcus Smart hits a 3 to put the Celtics up 1. And then J.R. Smith absolutely lost in moving off ball, nowhere close to him, and could not get around the screen. That's Boston's first lead of the game since 3-2. J.R. responds with a clang throughout the dribble. LeBron throughout this is just not as aggressive, and that in itself is a big problem. By the end of this quarter, the Cavs are down 7. They're outscored by 14 in the quarter, 36-22. Everything absolutely falls apart. Not at all the type of quarter I would have expected coming out of that first half. And it's just capped off by silly things. You know, Kevin Love, at a 1:11 to go, they miss Love posted up versus Smart, which I think is something they should have hunted down. And LeBron misses a runner. Okay, that's fine. It happens sometimes. But then in the next possession, Terry Rozier is left open and hits a 3 for his 14th point of the quarter. Rodney Hood, all he had to do was rotate over to Terry Rozier to contest the shot. Doesn't make the play, just stares at him. It's something I don't think Jetty would have done or some of the other guys on the team would have done, but it puts his 14 points of the quarter. Boston gets that 7-point lead, and then Love misses versus Smart in the post. Cavs trail by 7, completely unraveled here. And you'll hear more about this in the big picture breakdown of this game with Ashley Bastock, but just an overall a terrible quarter for the Cavs. And to me, this just felt like a big, big turning point of the game and a sign that this was just not going to end well for the Cavs. The Cavs, to their credit, if you want to give them something positive, did respond in the fourth quarter to some degree. They don't start off well, mind you. Hood, Korver, Green, Nance, and Hill start the fourth. Hood turns it over early, just a bad, bad game for him. And Boston goes up 9 after Semi Ojeleye makes 2 free throws off of that turnover. Korver then misses a 3. Marcus Smart then finds Greg Monroe. Boston goes up 11 with 1:14 to go. LeBron checks back in at 10:41 for Hood. So they're down 11, immediately sunk in a 4 points, unlike the first half where they actually handled themselves well. Big difference there. Love is back with Hill, Korver, and Green at 9:26. They're going to go for this in full. So LeBron drives a little bit more in this quarter. 9:08, for example, he drives versus Monroe, gets the and one, just absolutely takes advantage of that switch. That's really, really good. But then 7:38, Marcus Smart gets to the free throw line. He makes both free throws. The Cavs are back down by 11. 7:09, LeBron takes a really bad shot. 6:12, Smart on a third chance for Boston, puts Boston back up 11 again. Then you get things rolling a little bit more here. 5:14, LeBron gets the and one versus Morris. They created a good look for him by putting 3 guys on the weak side of the floor, and LeBron drives and scores. 4:43, he gets his 40th point on a jumper where he used a good Tristan Thompson screen to get to the free throw line, pull up, and score. gets in within six. Boston calls a timeout. At this point in the game, if you're feeling optimistic about the Cavs, you have to say they have a shot. This is a team that is still in this game coming out of that timeout. They would have a shot to potentially figure this out and get themselves in a good position. And then it just unravels again. 3:49. Marcus Smart gets into it with JR because JR Smith pushed out Horford from behind on a roll to the rim. He's trying to follow him, but it's a dumb foul. It's a dangerous foul. He should have been called for a flagrant two, in my mind, no question. He only gets a flagrant one, but Al makes both free throws. Boston gets the ball. He and Smart get double techs. And then Horford follows this up by absolutely cooking Kevin Love for an N1 in the post. Boston goes up by 12. It's their biggest lead of the night. He scores again with 2:56 to go on a pick and pop. Rozier scores to put the Celtics up 16 with 1:48 to go. And this is over. The Cavs pull everybody out. Utterly disastrous second half. LeBron was not particularly great in the second half by any means. But this is a 42-point LeBron game, a 9-of-18 Kevin Love game where he had 22 and 15, a triple-double from LeBron, 11 points from Korver, okay, good minutes from Tristan, okay-ish minutes from Hill. I frankly think this is a bad coaching game from Ty, a bad run of play from a lot of guys. Hood was awful. I don't know what else you can say. They absolutely just crapped the bed in the second half. Third and fourth quarters, just utterly disastrous basketball from the Cavaliers. And now they're down 2-0. They, frankly, are probably going to lose the series. They should not feel real confident going back. They have some adjustments they can make. We're going to talk about those more in the days to come. But to break down this game more, Ashley Bastock from Fearless Order is going to join me in the last segment to break down the big picture of this game as we look ahead to Saturday's game two. But that's our quarter-by-quarter breakdown. And now Ashley is going to join me to break the rest of this game down. Okay, now Ashley Bastock from For the Sword is with me to break down the big picture of Game 2. Ashley, let's start here. When the Cavs were leading at halftime and had played a pretty good first half, LeBron was particularly good in the first quarter. Did you expect what happened in the third and fourth quarter to come? Like, what when it went badly for the Cavs, did you see this unraveling coming?
I mean, I'm always nervous now with third quarters, just given the fact that we've seen the Cavs do this all year in third quarters and kind of lay down. The LeBron taking a shot to the head from Jason Tatum's shoulder was particularly worrisome. I mean, obviously he came back out, but, you know, that in and of itself, you're kind of wondering, okay, he's back out, but, you know, if the neck is going to be an issue, you know, how is that going to affect him in the second half? I think we saw it did. He kind of slowed down considerably despite having another 40-point game. I think the thing that was surprising in the collapse was the Cavs not hitting shots that they hit early on in the game. And that kind of was the undoing for me. And, you know, just the fact that the Celtics did not flinch in the beginning of that game. And normally when LeBron is playing the way he did tonight throughout an entire first half, and when you have Kyle Korver hitting threes, that stuff is kind of deflating to whatever team they're playing. We saw it with the Raptors, you know, particularly, but the Celtics didn't do that tonight. So I guess I am surprised, but I'm not surprised. And that sounds like a non-answer, but I don't even know how to put that into words to make it not sound like a non-answer at this point.
Yeah, Boston did a really good job, to their credit, of coming back, coming out firing in the third quarter. The Cavs held it back for a little bit, but then I'm gonna run through my notes and showcase just here what really went wrong. So, third quarter starts and the Cavs are pushing through this. They're doing okay. We get to the 5:14 mark, and this is two back to back plays that really went in Boston's favor. So Marcus Morris scores one on one versus Tristan Thompson with 5:14 to go. He gets fouled. These two, they yell at each other. Marcus Morris yells in Thompson's face. They get double text. Marcus makes the free throw, and it's a tie game. The Cavs don't score. Then on the next possession, Marcus Smart hits a three-pointer, or the Cavs did score, but Marcus Smart then hits a three to put the Cavs up by one. J.R. Smith on this play absolutely just hasn't, I don't know what he was doing, absolutely loses Marcus Smart. Smart gets to the top of the key, gets a wide open three, and then Boston gets its first lead of the game since it led 3-2. The Cavs led this whole time up until this point. On the next possession, the Cavs have J.R. Smith clank a three-pointer, and then Terry Rozier gets an easy dunk on the breakout. As a result, the Cavs have to call a timeout. Actually, I don't know about this for you, but for me, in that moment, when we saw that happen and we saw the Cavs just frankly fall apart in that moment, that is when I was very sure that they were, if not already in trouble, or pretty teetering on the edge of this getting ugly. That to me was the point where I was like, I don't know if they're going to hold on to this.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I agree. It was the second they, you know, went up again that I was like, oh no, like you can sense it coming. And then from that point on, it almost felt like I was watching this game in slow motion. Like I'm watching it happen and you just know what's coming, you know, and you know, after the Celtics, you know, continue to go on that run, the Cavs never got closer than I think 6 in the fourth quarter. Like it was like watching it in slow motion. You just know, you knew what was going to happen. You could see what was happening from a mile away. We've seen different versions of this team this year do the same kind of stuff and just fall apart down the stretch. And whether or not, obviously, we don't know the exact severity of what's going on with LeBron right now. Like I said before, other guys stopped hitting shots. All of that combined with, you know, certain role players, and I don't know how much you want to get into it, having terrible games like J.R. Smith, like George Hill again, kind of being invisible, and you get this collapse. And it was one of those things where you're watching it, and once they went down, I just kind of felt like there's no way that the Cavs are mentally tougher than this Boston team, at least not tonight.
Let's talk about JR for a second, because he was really bad. We're going to get into that fourth quarter, but JR, I cannot in words really explain exactly how bad he was. 0-7 from the field, 0-4 from the 3-point line, was just all over the place on defense. Like other guys were bad, but I don't know if there's a player egregiously hurting the team more than him during the stretch. He played at the end of the third quarter and was bad. He had that foul on Al Horford, which in my mind clearly should have been a flagrant two. And then he doesn't, I mean, he stays in the game, but he just fuels Boston's comeback at that point. He can directly, they're only down 6 at that point. He directly contributes to Al Horford helping the Celtics push their lead to a game high, and is not making any shots and is taking bad shots. I cannot remember he was due for maybe a game like this, because that's what he was in the regular season. But by far, this was the worst J.R. Smith game of the season. And there has not been a point where the Cavs were more vulnerable to having themselves partially undone by J.R. Smith being this absolutely bad.
Yeah, and I mean, for me personally, what I've come to accept with J.R. Smith over the last, you know, 3.5 seasons, whatever it is now, since 2015 when the Cavs got him, you're going to have nights with J.R. where he's a streaky shooter. Like, that's just the reality of the situation and where we're at. If we have a night where J.R. Smith can't buy a 3-point basket, I can live with it if he at least puts forth some effort on defense. And we've seen him be successful in the postseason that way throughout these last, you know, 4 playoffs now, and particularly against the Warriors when he hasn't scored. And for as angry as people have gotten over him, you know, not scoring in the finals or whatever, it does help for him to actually be trying on the defensive end of the floor. It does, you know, when he's active, when he's engaged, and he just wasn't that tonight. And that's really, for me, the most disappointing part of what we've seen from him in these first 2 games this series. He just has not proven effective on any of the Celtics guards, no matter what, you know, matchup he's looking at. And that to me is always going to be more disappointing than however many points he puts up in a given game.
The other part of this quarter that really, to me, emphasized what was going to happen was 43.8 seconds left. No one gets on Terry Rozier on the right wing, or the right wing for Boston. He strokes a three. He has at 14 points in the quarter. It puts Boston up by 7, caps off that 36-22 advantage they had in that quarter. Rodney Hood literally stares at Terry Rozier. Did the right thing and forced the pass. He needed to rotate again to protect the shot. The Cavs' defense was obviously, just because it's the Cavs, was out of sorts. All he needed to do was rotate over one more spot to contest the shot. And maybe it's a miss, and maybe it's 11 points versus 14 points heading into that quarter as a disadvantage, and they're only down 4. But he just gives up an open 3, and that kind of stuff ended up killing them. To go to the third quarter, or the start of the fourth quarter, excuse me, the Cavs obviously sit LeBron to start the fourth. They go Hood, Korver, Green, Nance, and Hill. Hood had a terrible turnover to start this quarter. Leads to a semi-Ojale basket on the other end, or at least gets the free throws. They're up by 9. Korver then misses a 3. Greg Monroe gets a bucket for Marcus Smart. They go up 11. LeBron's back. They hit the crater down 11 in just a little bit. He sits. And then the Cavs do push back, right? Like, they do get some credit here for getting themselves within 6. It's 4:41 to go. The Celtics call a timeout. LeBron hits a jumper that forces this to get his 40th point of the night. And then this is where the JR thing comes in. 3:49, Horford gets fouled by JR. Again, should have been a flagrant 2. They go up by 10 after the free throws. Then they get the ball back, obviously. Al Horford scores one-on-one versus Kevin Love. Absolutely smokes him, right? Just blows by him in the post. They go up by 12, and it's the Celtics' biggest lead of the night. He misses the free throw on the and one, but they're still up by 12. Tristan gets called for an offensive foul. Korver comes back in. So at this point, the Cavs have decided to pivot to all offense, and then it just doesn't matter because Al Horford picks and pops to put them up 14. Rozier then scores with 1:48 with no one contesting after a couple different rebounds, I believe. Just utterly decimated at the end of this game. They got within 6, were in striking distance, and it took, frankly, you know, 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes, for the Cavs to just completely be done there, and for them for Ty Lue have to wave the white flag. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really think they were going to come back and win this. Just the mood around them, Boston having that energy advantage, LeBron again not being that aggressive in the second half for most of it. But I mean, if you're going to say one positive thing about this, at least they got close-ish for a moment. But they just crapped the bed after that. There's no other way for me to spin it, and that Boston just might be better. And I think that the Cavs didn't really help themselves, but Boston just might be better, and the Cavs just kind of have let themselves down at the end of this year.
Yeah, and the thing that's frustrating for me is that I don't know if Boston is better, more talented-wise. They're certainly not better experience-wise. What they are better at is mental toughness, and that's just something we've heard over and over again tonight, whether it's the commentators, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's just a basic eye test that tells you that, you know, at the end of the game, they're within striking distance. Like you said, they're still, you know, sniping at each other a little bit on the court after that Tristan offensive foul, obviously the JR flagrant 1 technical free throw situation was kind of like that for sure was the end for me. And mentally tough teams just don't do that. And, you know, the Cavs have just shown over these last two games that they are not on the same level as Boston is with that. And yeah, you know, there's a reason Boston hasn't lost at home these playoffs yet. And we saw it tonight. Once that crowd gets into it, they feed off of it. And the Cavs just, for whatever reason, were not able to hold on to that first half lead and kind of put their, you know, end it when they had the opportunity to. They could have come out after the halftime with, you know, a bit more fire and, you know, finish the game off that way almost. And they just didn't mentally have it tonight. And that's the most frustrating part for me in all of this, because if they do come out with some of that fire, then what happens? Is the series tied or are they up 2-0?
with the Cavs now down 2-0, the first time LeBron has been down in Eastern Conference Finals series since 2008. This is a long time for him. I mean, it's functionally a decade for him without this type of deficit. The Cavs do come home. They're off until Saturday. There's going to be media. There's going to be discussion about what they're going to do these next couple of days. But Ashley, when you look at where the Cavs are at right now, you look at what we've seen these first two games. I mean, do you feel like there is a shot for them to actually come back at all? Or do you feel like this is just inevitably delaying the end if they win game three, game four? I mean, just is there any reason for the Cavs to feel optimistic about where they're headed right now?
I mean, I don't know if optimism is even the right word to use to describe my feelings. I will say the only reason I'm not completely pessimistic right now, it is LeBron. Like, that's the only rational reason I can give, because other than that, I don't even know how to begin spinning this series, either of these first two games, into something positive, because I just don't see it. Like, you've maybe seen spurts from guys here and there. Obviously, what Kyle Korver did, particularly in the first half tonight, was a positive. Kevin Love played slightly better. But other than that, there is no spinning this for me. The only hope, if you can even call it that, and I don't know that I can, is the fact that we have LeBron. And like you said, the last time the Cavs were down 2-0 in a series was in 2016 against the Warriors. Obviously not an ideal situation to be in, but it's not unheard of for LeBron to come back from a deficit like this.
The things that I think did come out of this game that were positive were, number one, I did think the removal of Clarkson was good. I think the emphasis on George Hill was maybe a little too much for his minutes total, but I think worked. I thought Tristan was overall pretty solid. The numbers indicate that as well, and I thought his screening was good. I thought Nance set good screens and played some good defense in his minutes. I thought Kevin Love was excellent cutting off ball. I sent a GChat message to our Fear the Sword editor group in the third quarter that said there's a lot of gunk going on in this game, but Kevin Love off ball is really fun. He was cutting well. Him and Korver had some really nice action where they just let LeBron pass to whichever one got open off the action. I thought that was nice, but that's probably not enough. They're going to have to have good defensive effort for an entire game. Boston is continuing to just create a lot better shots than the Cavs. If you just run through all of this, that is all that really matters here. It just, they're creating better looks. They're getting more, and they just are being so much more aggressive and taking advantage of Cavs' weaknesses. It's going to be interesting. Game three is Saturday in Cleveland. It's going to be a weird vibe. And game four is going to be a weird vibe as well because of all the drama and the speculation surrounding this. But Ashley will be there. Ashley will be covering the series four for the Sword as well as NEO Sports Insiders. You can find her on Twitter at Ashley Bastock 42. Ashley, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we are out.